This morning, we shifted from what we were talking about. We did a whole month talking about presence, but this morning, as we're coming out of that, we're coming into Holy Week. It's Palm Sunday. This morning, I want to talk about how we're doing with coronavirus. That's the name of this message. I want to talk about how we're doing with coronavirus. It's a very long title for a message. I realize this. But I do. I want to have like honest talk, like from my home to yours, from my heart to yours, just real talk. And I don't need to give you statistics. I don't need to shape this reality for you, because we're all living in it. We're following it really closely. We're in a once a century, once a lifetime event with a pandemic and disruptor of this sort of nature. We're living in a stay-at-home reality where some of us are working from home. Some of us have lost our jobs in the midst of the shutdown. Some of us are working in essential businesses and work out there, wherever that is. It's been 17 days. School's been out. Everybody's home. If you have kids, and we're all trying to figure out how to juggle this new world and this new reality. It's been 17 days here in California since they've given us the stay-at-home order on a statewide level. That's stuff we all know. But I want to talk about how we're doing, because, I mean, that's the stuff, but how are we doing in the midst of that? Because that's a lot. Like, that's a lot. And I find myself swinging through all the moods, all the feels, kind of hourly, by the minute, by the day, moments of like, I love family. Family time is the greatest. This is the greatest gift. I'm going to rip my hair out and lose my mind and putting on my bandit mask. And you know what I mean? Like, it's like full spectrum, all the time. For us, three boys that are high octane, ADD giant dog with no personal boundary space. Jen and I both working at home, kids homeschooling. I mean, there's a lot there. This week, the kids were in the backyard having like a sort of break between classes at a moment. And when they were back there, like a biblical plague came over the fence. Like our neighbors illegally keep hives of bees, like boxes and hives of bees in their backyard. And something happened in the thousands upon thousands of, like a bee hurricane came over the fence, swarming the backyard. And you just hear screaming, ah, kids are running. And two of them get inside and slam the door to lock it out of fear of the bees. The third one got locked out. So you just hear like the yelling and circling and screaming. It was crazy. Felt like a plague. We've been trying to run our kids out at night like puppies on a treadmill. And so we have been taking them through these workouts, these like CrossFit style workouts, sometimes hour and a half. I mean, we've done almost 2 hours some days when they're really amped up. And it's the kind of thing where they're like, we're so tired. And I'm like, work, son, work. This is where you become a man when the zombies are coming. It's like intense kind of funny stuff in the backyard. Or Jen was on a work call. I was in the back on a work call. Someone came to the door to drop off a package. And as they were leaving, my youngest son opened the door to get the package. The dog takes advantage of his small size and just barreled him over and started chasing out into the street as the delivery truck was driving away. Jen's still on a call, running, screaming down, and throws herself in front of the truck to stop the delivery driver from running the dog over, all still on call, and drags the dog back inside. It's like, it's hilarious. And we all have our funny stories of the things that we're experiencing and that we're going through. But man, it's really a lot. I mean, there's a lot. We have to just be honest. We're going through a lot right now. For me, I know I'm wrestling with all the emotions. Fear this week. Fear of sickness. Fear of, what if my parents get sick? I know for us and our family, some of us have like asthma and sort of conditions that wouldn't potentially stack up well with some of the things I've read about this virus, which creates like a bit of fear. I mean, there was a point when I genuinely wondered, I wonder if I should write letters to each of my family members in the church, like just in case, like that kind of, it's like moments like this that force us into the obvious reality that we're not invincible, and that at some point, we and our loved ones are all gonna die. And that's scary. Or like just anxiety, like the changing minute by minute, hour by hour, the unknown, finding out this week, getting on like global calls with different leaders that our our peak here in Orange County probably won't be till mid-May for quite some time. That we're in this for a while, and a lot of experts think we could be in this dance in and out for like 18 months until we find some sort of immunization. If you have kids, like school is out forever, it feels like. Like all the things that I used to do to give me life, I can't access anymore. I've talked to friends and community members and family members who have lost jobs, who are concerned for their businesses. The sort of CARES Act insanity and scarcity that it creates of like, there may not be enough to go around, and like it's just anxiety. It's moments like this that force us into the reality that it's all so fragile and we are not in control. Not even a little. How quickly we got here. It's amazing, actually. We're just feelings of grief and sadness. Just kind of like that overwhelmed feeling that's almost difficult to name, like a calm before a storm hasn't even started yet. This week I found myself putting on a worship song and like crying in the kitchen as I was hugging Jen and not quite sure like why or where it came from. I miss people, miss humans, miss touching, like hugging, high-fiving, fist bumping, all the things. I'm turning 40, canceled my plans. That makes me sad. That feeling in your gut that maybe you can't quite name, it's called grief and sadness, and we're learning how to like lament, and it's okay to be sad. Or just the feeling of frustration generally. It's just, oh! That feeling of frustration and then knowing like what's happening but not being able to control any aspect of it. Moments like that make you sort of rage and protest against the universe and this realization of our own powerlessness. And then it's like mixed with the feelings of hope for me. There's a new world that's breaking forth. I told you guys at the beginning of this year that every 500 years, historically, we've seen the world transform and change in the church and everything about it. And I told you that I think in our lifetime, we're going to see that happen again. I just didn't think it would happen this quickly. It's happening, and it's catalyzing it. And we're not going back to the way things were. And we're watching the world transform. And we're actually a part of it. And it isn't going to stay the way that it is right now. It's good. Like, we'll emerge and things will be different. And this is one of those times in a hopeful way, like, where you know you're in the middle of a turning point in history. We're living through it right now. And it's almost like I just want to take it all in. Like, we're part of a new world that's being birthed. And we're powerless in a lot of ways in it. And yet, so much is yet to come. And there's this hope. It's not a naive optimism. It's just a hope in the midst of chaos that God is somehow in, like, the midst of it. And, I mean, those are some of the feelings I had, you know, in the last 5 minutes throughout the week. But I imagine that they're probably similar to a lot of the feelings that we're all having. Like, we're all experiencing lots and lots of things. And if you're feeling tired, then you're not alone. If you're feeling overwhelmed and worn out, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling scared, you're not alone. You're not. You're not alone. If you're feeling like less productive, like you're not getting things done, that's normal. This is where we are. That's okay. You're not alone. These feelings are normal for what we're going through, guys, because we're all going through this together. And what I want to do this morning is I want to give you three truths to lay hold of for you to hang on to this week. Three truths as we head into Holy Week together. One, we will get through this. And that may seem obvious to some of us and not obvious to others of us, but we will get through this. I know this feels like it's forever, and I know that this can feel like it's endless, that like life got canceled, and we don't know what's coming, and it feels like we're going to be in and out of this for quite some time, but this is not forever. We will get through this. Keep going. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. God gives strength to the tired and weary. Isaiah 40:28 says this, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." We will get through this. This is not the end. We're in this together. Let's support each other. Let's cheer each other on. Let's encourage each other. Let's be the church. You're not in this alone. We are here to rally around each other and to support us through this in every way. Give help. Be generous. Don't hold back. Receive help when you need it. You're not in this alone. Share. Care for each other. Don't lose inward and lose. Don't turn inward and lose who you are. Don't turn inward right now and lose who you are. Don't be afraid in that way. This is not the end, and we will get through this. The Spirit will give you strength to sustain you. Figure out what fuels you and lean into that. It's going to be different in these seasons. Your rhythms are going to look different. Start your day strong. Don't start with the news, but what fuels you and what connects you to the living God. Keep up the spiritual practices that we've been putting in place together as a community over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. Your prayer, your quiet times, your daily meditations and your journaling, your time just abiding with the Father. Don't stop. Keep your rhythms. Keep your eyes fixed. We're going to get through this. He will give you strength. That's one. I want you to hang on to that this week. Two, second thing. Sometimes when in moments like this, sometimes surviving is thriving. We talked about this a long, long time ago. Sometimes surviving is thriving. Ephesians 6:10 says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand." He says, put on the full armor of God. It goes on to describe it. It's this analogy for truth and righteousness and peace and faith and salvation and the Spirit and the Word. It's like when he says, put on your full armor, he's like, gird yourself up with who you are and the full power of who you are. Gear up for battle. Put the whole kit on so that when the day of evil comes, you can stand your ground. And I love this because he says, and after you've done everything, just stand. That's it. Don't take ground. Don't take that mountain. Don't be super productive. Don't like pull off all this awesome stuff. He says, just stand. Just keep standing. That is it. Sometimes, and in some situations, surviving is thriving. Don't worry about making gains or trying to be hyper productive at this time. We're all surviving, and it's okay. That's okay. I've been digging back into the book of Daniel, and I've been finding a lot of encouragement. And Daniel's an Old Testament prophetic book. It's apocalyptic in sort of nature and genre, but it's the story of the exile when the Babylonians come and conquer the people of God, and they wipe them out. They circle the city, they besiege the city, and they just tear it down, and they sort of last nail in the coffin. They take like the best of the best, and the young ones who are the most promising, and they take them off in a caravan in exile back to Babylon, and then enculturate them and essentially assimilate them into the culture and like breathe their old identity out of them. Like, we're going to wipe you out from the face of the earth sort of thing. And they change their name. And Daniel is one of the people that are in that. His name used to mean Yahweh is my judge. It's like an identity thing. And now they change his name to Belshazzar, which means Bel's prince. And Bel was King Nebuchadnezzar's, like, one of his gods. So, like, absolutely robbing his identity, even his name and like, God and who he is. They took everything from him, and then they imprisoned him. And Daniel, in this moment, resolves in the prison not to eat the food that's given to him. They offer him the royal food and wine. He draws this line. It's like, enough is enough. And it's not a biblical legal sort of maneuver that this food the Bible outlaws from him. None of this food is outlawed in the Bible from him to partake in. It's not a righteousness thing. It's something else, actually, entirely. He's drawing this line, and he's saying enough is enough, and he's using what he can to defy an empire and stand up for God. I'm just going to read you the passage. Daniel 1, verse 11. It says, "Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, his buddies, 'Please test your servants for 10 days and give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see.' So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days, and at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. And so the guard took away their choice food and wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead." It's a huge argument for the vegans out there. I understand. "To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds." So this is like a story about a moment when Daniel stands up and says no. And it's a story essentially about power, how when everything was taken away, he and his friends are sort of humiliated, and the only thing they have left that they're in control of is just like the smallest thing, just what they put in their bodies. Everything is an attack against them, and they have no power, and they have no options, and they've completely lost everything. But this is a story when you're in a place of survival and it feels like you're absolutely powerless and out of control about just finding one thing. Like, you're never fully powerless. It's a story about military and empire and conquest. It doesn't get real until you actually get to food on the table with one small decision. And when you are living in a place of survival, the reality is the little things are the big things. What's the one little thing that's before you right now that you need to do? What's the next right thing that you need to do? Do it. It's the small decisions that actually add up over time that matter. They are the big thing. Like, what do you need to do? What small things are you neglecting that are in front of you that actually are quite large? All we can do is what we can do. We have to let go of the rest. And we talk often as a community about God's kingdom and the restoration of all things and the new creation and the sort of like flourishing and thriving of God's people that's breaking forth, this already not yet present kingdom of God. But in moments like this, we're reminded very much of the not yet present part of the kingdom. And the reality for us right now is that when we're so overwhelmed and weighed down, you just need to know that sometimes surviving is thriving, and that's okay. And you can take the next thing, just one small thing. I mean, maybe you're family at home, maybe you're a single person at home, or maybe you're a single mom and you got three kids and you just made it through the day. That's awesome. Like, you did it. You did it. I think we celebrate that. Surviving is thriving, that we made it through another day. Maybe if your relationships are rocky with those that you're with, like one good day, we can celebrate that. Maybe you lost your job or you lost your savings and what's happened in the economy. You know what? You are surviving. You're surviving. You're alive. You're breathing. You're here. For me, just making it to Monday morning, like, oh, we survived. I'm a person that wants to be ultra productive, but what I'm telling you right now, it sounds so counterintuitive to what I usually say. Lower the bar. Lower the bar a little bit, because sometimes surviving is thriving. Are you still alive? Do you still have food today? Do you have loved ones? Do you have a place to live? Did you make it through the day? Then you're doing it. You are killing it. Surviving is thriving. And I just say, well done. There's a new life that is coming, and we're just taking it one day at a time. I think the next 2 to 4 weeks are going to be just very real, and it's just one day and one breath at a time. Richard Rohr speaks about liminal space and the transformational power of liminal space, and liminal space is like an in-between space. When you leave what's known and you aren't quite yet into like the future of what isn't known, but you've already left the past behind, and it's a very rare moment when the entire world enters a liminal space of transformation and unknown and suffering at the exact same time. This is a rare, rare moment. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Man, just stand. It's not in vain. Just stand. That's two. Third thing. The third thing for you, the third truth, is lastly, this is not the end. This is not the end. You are never down till you're dead. And even then, we're a resurrection people. This is Holy Week, baby. Resurrection people. We're heading into a celebration of a God of resurrection. Like, maybe you feel like you can't keep standing, like it's too much. Like, maybe you feel like you've lost too much, or you aren't sure how you're going to get out of where you are, or how you're going to get another job or more income, or like how you're going to get back what you've lost in this economy. But you're not down. You are not out. It is not over. What's wild is if you follow that Daniel story, he ends up coming into great power. He becomes like a great advisor to the king, and he's filled with this Holy Spirit power of interpreting dreams and wisdom. And he's in this position in the court, one of the highest positions in the land, as an advisor to this king. He's very powerful, but by the fourth chapter, King Nebuchadnezzar gets so full of himself that this dream comes, and God tells him that if you don't humble yourself, then what's going to end up happening? He says is I'm going to strip you of everything that you have. And Daniel interprets it. Nebuchadnezzar obviously doesn't listen. And like a year later, he's kind of up on his walls and he's peacocking around talking about how awesome he is. And then God says, okay. And he strikes him with like insanity. So the story goes. And for 7 years, it says he lost everything. 7 years, he'd lost his sanity and he was living out in the wilderness like an animal and he lost everything. And the story in Daniel 4 says, immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and he ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. And at the end of that time, it says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. And then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. And at the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. And my advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Which is a wild story. I mean, he is humbled. He loses his sanity for 7 years. He lives like a wild animal, and then he comes back and somehow gains even more. Like, everyone wrote this man off for good, and then he's back. Like, you may be down, but you're never out. It's never over. You're never down until you're dead, and even then, death. Says Paul, where's your sting? We serve a God of resurrection, and you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. And a lot of us are suffering significant loss right now. A lot of us are suffering and afraid that we will be having significant loss in the very soon future. Maybe a business, or maybe a job, or maybe family, or maybe you're just scared for a relationship right now, or maybe this is really hard on your marriage, or those that you're living with, or maybe you're leading a nonprofit or a ministry and you're wondering about its vitality into the future, or maybe you've just made some bad decisions financially or in your business or in your life, or maybe you just blew it in a relationship. Maybe you just yelled at your kids this week and lost your mind on them, and like they kind of turn the way that they're looking on you now. Maybe even outside of this virus altogether, a whole world of things could have you in a place where you feel like this is the end. Like, how am I going to get out of this? It's not over. This isn't the end. This doesn't have the final say. Death doesn't even have the final say. God is still at work. Your story is not done. Your life is not over. There's still so much more to come. Can you see that? Redemptive history keeps moving forward into a new creation, and God has not forgotten you, and God has not left you behind. What's fascinating in that story of Daniel is that they change his name to Belshazzar to rob him of his identity as a man of God, of Yahweh. But by chapter 4, the king starts calling him Daniel again, and they put Belshazzar in parentheses. Like, he somehow in the midst of this, his old Jewish identity, it held out through all of the chaos, and in the right moment, it came back, and his full self sort of came back. And in the end, Nebuchadnezzar disappears after this verse in the book, and we never see him again. And Daniel somehow outlasts the king in his place of prominence, in his place of power that God put him in. He isn't through with you yet. Your story's not done. You're never down until you're dead. So keep your head up. We have a God of resurrection life. This doesn't have the final say. 1 Peter 3:22 says, Jesus has the last word on everything and everyone, from angels to armies. He's standing right alongside God, and what he says goes. That's the Message version. Jesus has the last word on everything and everyone. Jesus has the final say. This is not the end, and he's good, and I trust him, and we will get through this together. And so I just encourage you guys, keep going, my friends. We're in this together. We got this. And so I'm going to invite Jen to come over and just close us out in this part of our gathering before we go into our Zoom calls with our community groups.
Hi, guys. As Phil was talking, I just kept getting this picture in my head of a well. And I think perhaps for some of us, that well right now might feel empty. And the beautiful picture I got was that as we dipped our buckets down into this well, that every time we pulled the bucket up, there was just this water like overflowing. And I just wanted to share that with you guys. It was such a beautiful picture that like God's love and his peace and everything that he is endless. Like, it's infinite, despite the circumstances that we're in, when the world is changing all around us, that God remains the same. and that we can go to him, and that that well doesn't run out. It doesn't run dry. And so I just want to pray for us this morning as we head out to our groups. God, I thank you for your peace. God, I thank you that you give us peace that goes beyond all of our circumstances, and that, God, even though things have changed so much around us, and things that we felt like we could stand on before were maybe are maybe not there anymore, God, that we can still stand on you, and that your well does not run dry, that we can continue to seek you, and that you will still be there, God, that you will overflow our buckets. God, we pray for overflowing of hope. God, I pray that as we pull up our buckets, that that hope would just spill out onto others around us. God, I pray that as we pull up those buckets, that the peace, God, that only you can provide, would overflow out of our lives into our neighbors, into the people that we interact with throughout the week. God, I pray that as we pull up those buckets, that your love and your kindness, God, would be known through us to the people around us, to our kids, to our friends, to our family members, to people who are scared right now, to people who are hurting, to the people that are on the front lines of this, God, who are putting their own lives at risk. God, would you help us to lift up the arms of the people around us? God, even as we are struggling ourselves, would you give us a strength that we didn't even know that we had, that only you can give? And so, God, we thank you for this community. God, I pray that you would bless these people. I pray that you would, that we could laugh, that we could find the joy in the small moments, even as we're just at home and kind of feels like Groundhog Day. I pray that even just in the smallest things, God, would you help us notice the bird chirping outside, things that we maybe normally wouldn't see, the laughter of our kids, the small things, the smell of the food that we get to eat. God, just may this time be a time of gratitude and looking for what you're doing. And so we thank you. I just pray blessings over everyone's week. So guys, have a great week. Enjoy your time with your groups. And we just love you. We miss you. Wish you could be like actually put our arms around you. But until then,
see you soon. On.